There's a new face at Iolani Palace, but she's a familiar one to many in our island community. Paula Akana, former KITV news anchor, is now the executive director of the Friends of Iolani Palace. She remembers driving by the palace with her parents as a young child and how she loved learning about its history. She and I worked together in television news for a long time, and we sat down yesterday afternoon to recall the changes to the historic home.
When we started off in TV, covering all the stories of the palace during that time in the mid to late 80s, when they were really starting to find all the great objects that had been far flung around the world, and those stories of putting the pieces back together and returning it to its glory was always something that was so magical. And so being there and seeing it every day, I love it. But the Kuleana is really strong.
And I was just on your website, and you do have a page, you know, asking for people if they have things from the palace, would they consider bringing it back?
We're always looking because there's so many things that aren't there. Truly, just about all of the furniture and the objects, most of it that you see there, were from the palace. But there's still so much that's missing. But we do get things returned. We just had a wonderful donation from a family late last year of over 100 pieces that belonged to Antonio Rosa, who had been an attorney general and part of the corps there. And one of them was the helmet plates that the guards would wear. And it had the K for Kalakaua, and it had Uamauki Eoka Aina Ikapono on it, and it was so beautiful. And it was so nice because they felt that it needed to go back home. And so we appreciated it. And so that became our Christmas ornament that we just had this year. You know, that was exciting. You know, we looked at it and we said, that would make a great Christmas ornament. And then people can learn more about Antonio Rosa and just about, you know, some of the decor that was on the uniforms and so forth. The big wish list is Kalakaua's bed. It was part of the Davenport collection, and it was an ebonized bed. And it's got to be somewhere. I find it really hard to believe that it was destroyed or lost over the years. So someone out there must have Kalakaua's bed. And that's number one on our list. But it's a continuous process to hear from people. You know, people will give you phone calls, and our curatorial team will go out or meet with them and see the object, and they're able to tell them, no, thank you, but it didn't have anything to do with the palace, or, you know, so forth.
So how did the palace lose all these items?
When Kalakaua died, a lot of his objects went to Kapi'olani. She sold off some of it over the years. Same thing with Lili'uokalani's items. Some went to, you know, different nephews and
families,
so forth,
right.
Family members, right? And it was sold off. A lot of quite a few objects were auctioned off at the time of the overthrow and annexation, and those really ended up all over the world. We have a stand that's in one of the rooms, and a family saw the picture. A lot of what we're recreating is from the few pictures that we have of inside the palace. They were able to go and see these pictures, and that's what we need. Where's that plant stand? And it shows up somewhere, and we know where it was. We knew it was in the queen's bedroom, or it was in the king's bedroom. So there was one family who had seen the picture when they were on tour here, and they're like, I think we have that piece. And it was from Midwest. They sent it in. So it's pretty exciting to see things return.
Yeah, that's really special when you know it's come back home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And on a recent tour, I know in the king's office, just some item there under the desk prompted a question about whether the palace had pets, and there was a
right.
a thing about two cats from Siam, which was fascinating.
Which was fascinating because I didn't even know that. And that ended up not being a cat water bowl. It ended up being a spittoon. But it's interesting how things come up, and you just find out more about them as people. And that's the part that I really enjoy, is learning about the Ali'i as a person. And I'm learning that more and more every day.
And as you walk through there, I know when I did a story recently on the two authors who put together that book about the palace, they were talking about when they were taking pictures in the palace. It was when Hurricane Lane was expected, and they had to take down all the oil paintings and bring them into a central room for special keeping, because some of that isn't owned by the palace. Some of it's on loan, I think, from Bishop Museum.
Some is on loan from the Bishop Museum, some from the State Archives. And so we care for those very carefully. And so those are really the first things that are protected.
Will it withstand those hurricane winds? And so talk about that. What do we need to do to protect that resource?
Well, when I came on board, I found that the roof was leaking. We're working on that right now with our landlords. We're a state park, so our landlords are the Department of Land and Natural Resources State Parks Division. So we are a state property. So we're working with DLNR and lawmakers this session to get the roof re-roofed, which would be the biggest thing we need to do. Second is the bees. Bees have been around for a while. They're still there. And so we're actually going to be meeting soon to discuss an action plan to take a look and see how large are the hives that are within the walls of the palace.
Oh, so they didn't get completely eliminated by the exterminator.
No. So when I first came on board, and I came on board in July, there was a really big hive that was visible on the outside. But that really wasn't the problem area. That hive was a really happy hive, I guess. And so several people were stung by bees that were on the Eva side of the palace. And so we discovered there was a number of hives. So they were able to remove that big hive. A beekeeper took that. And so that was taken care of. But the others are actually into the building itself. And even though they were able to exterminate those bees that day, because the hive is there and the honey is there, it still attracts bees.
So it's in the tower?
It's in the corners.
Cornered, okay.
Right. And because that portion of the building is wood, it's of interest to find out how expansive the hives are and if there's any honey and if the honey is rotting the wood.
Oh.
So that's the next step in the process, is to use technology to figure out exactly what are we looking at.
Oh, my goodness.
And then coming up with a game plan. And so that's kind of our total unknown. It could be minor or it could be major. And so that's pretty much what I'm sharing with everybody that I can that I can get to.
Right, but you've got to deal with these problems.
We've got to deal with them, and I think they need to be dealt with now. There was a portion of the palace that was re-roofed 5 or 6 years ago, and that part is fine and dandy, but my understanding is there wasn't money at that time with the Friends to do any more, and I guess it wasn't as bad as it is now. But I'm really pragmatic that when I take a look at my vision for Iolani Palace, my vision is that it's there for future generations, and I really think the roof is important. So that's my biggest goal right now, is to get this major repair and maintenance done.
Okay, so that's the ask of mm-hmm. before lawmakers this session. I was surprised when we were around the pavilion that it's in pretty bad shape. And quite honestly, I don't think I'd really been up that close since when you got married on the palace grounds many years ago.
That's another big project. You know, so I'm prioritizing right now, with the roof being the most important, the bees next, and the Coronation Pavilion. The Coronation Pavilion and the two pergolas, which are the little shady areas, are now off limits because they're pretty dangerous. And I take it personally because I got married at the steps of the Coronation Pavilion. And my dad and I stood under the pergola waiting for the signal to start, you know, walking to the Coronation Pavilion for our wedding. And so the Coronation Pavilion, when the coronation took place, was in a different area, and after the coronation they moved it to that area and it really turned into a bandstand, and that was all done during Kalākaua's time, and it was wooden. And then I believe, and I'm not really sure, but anyway, in the early 1900s there was concrete that was added to it, and there's the walkway that goes down. So that's all the problem, is the settling and everything that's going on there, and the wood that's in bad shape. So that is definitely on the list.
Yeah, because there's spalling.
There's spalling.
Cracks everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So it's definitely on the list. To me, the palace is gorgeous, but the grounds, it's all kind of, she looks worn right now, and she looks kind of shabby. And so that's my promise to King Kalākaua and Queen Liliʻuokalani, is to bring this magnificent place back to what it was, and for our future generations, as such an important part of Hawaii.
What is there to look forward to this year with the palace?
Well, this year we're working on a whole new set of educational tours. We brought in representatives from the Department of Education to sit down and talk with our education people and see, you know, what should we be doing with our kids, you know, and what they're learning. And so we're coming up with a number of new tours. We're also coming up with a number of tours that will be more towards families. But it's all kind of predicating on getting more docents who do the tours. Docents are volunteers. They come in and they do an aggressive, it's either an 11 or 12 week learning session, and they pay a fee for that. Some people just come in just to take the class because it's so interesting. But we make you do a 1-year promise to either be a docent or a guardian, and it's an hour and a half a week. And so they're the ones who do our tours. We have audio tours, but we have the docent tours. And when you go on a docent tour, it's so much better because it's, I mean, the audio tour is great, but you're getting somebody who's kind of putting their spin on a certain room, maybe, you know, they hit all the key areas. But it's so much nicer hearing from somebody, and it's like that anywhere where you go to museums and sites, is to hear it from the people and how excited they are about different parts of the palace.
I mean, when is the recruitment period?
You know, recruitment period is going on, it's ongoing because we start classes every so often. We're also, because of the educational tours, we're looking for docents who just want to deal with children. And those are a shorter, I think it's a 7-week class for that one. So they're just starting that one up. And you can contact iolanipalace.org is our website, and that will, you can get all the information to talk to our docent coordinator. But we're really actively looking for people who want to volunteer and help tell the stories.
Now, I've taken the docent-led tours. I recently did the audio tours, and that was wonderful because mm-hmm. I hadn't done that before, and then the evening tours. And each way of getting to know the palace is a little different.
The evening tours are only done the last weekend of the year, basically.
Yep, special event.
That's for Queen Kapi'olani. But it really is a magical time. So you're seeing it from a whole different viewpoint. Because to me, having the palace lit up at night and having the decorations and having, you know, opera and hula and Hawaiian music really brings you back to a time when Kalākaua and Kapi'olani were entertaining, because that's what they would do. They would have all this magnificent music filling the rooms. And so it is. It's a different way of learning about the palace. And a lot of people are saying, boy, those night tours are great. You should do it more often. It's not on our list right now, but we're trying to look at different tours. You know, we do have different specialty tours that go above and beyond what we see. We have a curator's tour where you actually get to see the, you know, the specialized way that they take care of things and some of the neat things that maybe aren't out in the open. We're working on tours of the grounds. So there's a lot of things we're trying to put together to, you know, some people come back every year, but this will give them something different.
Right, so give them a different dimension. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess a year ago, we focused in on the gowns. It was neat to see those rooms come alive with the dresses in there.
Those are beautiful. And this year, we were able to just unveil in time for Kapi'olani's birthday her coronation gown and the robe from Kini Zamora, another one of our Hawaii designers. And that's just brought up whole new field of people to come in and see. And the gowns are spectacular, and I think they really show, one, Arli'i were really fashion forward. I mean, they were fashionistas, and they really looked at what was being worn at that time around the world. But they also, especially with Kapi'olani, they also had something Hawaiian in all of them. You know, she has the ferns on her dress, and then the ferns on that robe, that whole outfit is gorgeous.
Yes, and I remember being in Kini's studio, and he was showing me how they made that in his studio in Halawa Valley.
It's amazing. Then there's the feather dress, and, you know, seeing the lehulu on the dresses and just everything, it just shows that they were really fashionistas, but they kept a little bit of Hawaii, you know, as part of their decor, and that really, I think, that made them stand out even
right.
more so.
Their identity. Anything else on your wish list?
Please come to the palace, you know, because the palace is not only for visitors to Hawaii. I really want to see Hawaii residents come and visit, because so many people tell me, I haven't been to the palace since I was a little kid, or I've never been to the palace, and I've lived here my whole life. So please come to the palace and see what we have and listen to Hawaii's history. And if you haven't been there in a long time, chances are, it was an empty palace when you first went in. When it first opened its doors, the building was set, but there was only basically carpeting and some curtains in there. So now there's just so many things to look at. So I'd love to see more people come. And also join the Friends of Iolani Palace. That's our organization. There's different levels of membership. And with that, you get free entry into the palace. But it's just nice to have, you know, to be part of the organization. And that's really important to me.
That was Paula Akana, who recently took the job as director of Iolani Palace. Akana tells us a meeting about the bees and the extent of the potential damage in the corner structures is planned for later today, so stay tuned.